You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kasparis, and talk about a Twins team that, for my money, pulled off one of the better steals of the trade deadline season for Sam Fold, a guy they picked up on waivers earlier in the season. They flip him back to Oakland, where he had been originally, and bring back Tommy Malone. A nice stealth swap for a left-handed starter that they'll control for a good 4 years or so. So that's a pretty nice pickup there. We're going to bring in Rhett Bollinger to talk about it, joining us live from his posh San Francisco hotel. Rhett, what did you think of that deal? That one seemed to go under the radar, but I think that's a nice one for this win.
Yeah, it definitely was a nice one. I mean, Sam Fold came from Oakland as a waiver claim earlier in the season, and so to give him back to Oakland and actually get, you know, a usable fourth or fifth type starter piece, a left-hander in Tommy Malone, I thought was a great trade, you know. The A's obviously had a need after trading Cespedes to kind of, you know, they'd love to do their platoons and all that, and so Sam Fold is a great defender. Truthfully, actually hit really well with the Twins, too. So he really was a good player with the Twins in the, you know, the few months they had him. And the A's obviously liked him from before. I understand they were, you know, it was tough for them to lose him on waivers. So for the Twins to get back Malone, who obviously, you know, I think his career A's right around 3.8. I know this year before he got sent down, his ERA was right around 3.5. So, yeah, he's definitely a capable guy. Right now he's still in AAA. He was down there after, you know, the A's obviously made a big trade earlier, you know, getting two big starters in Samardzija and Hamill, and they had, you know, too many starters, so they put him down in the minors for a little bit. And so he was still in the minors, and the Twins traded for him. So he's down there right now. He made his first start the other day, gave up one run on seven innings. So, yeah, I expect him to be up here in the rotation very soon. But yeah, the Twins do have, you know, I think right now with him in the minors, it actually kind of, the service time definitely got limited. So I think there's definitely a chance that they have him for another good 3-4 years.
Yeah, that's what I kind of alluded to. It's about a 3 or 4 year thing, depending on the service time. But yeah, by keeping him in the minors for another week or so, I think they insured themselves with that fourth year of control, I do believe. So always, those manipulations are always interesting. And, you know, certainly Malone's a guy who can help them. I know he had some frustration there in Oakland, kind of getting squeezed out of that rotation. And so maybe there's a better spot for him in the long run. But an offshoot of that move, Rhett, Kennys Vargas comes on the big league roster, basically takes Fold's place, correct, and makes an immediate impact, comes up, skips Triple-A completely, comes up from Double-A, and makes an immediate impact on the big league team, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a guy the Twins have been raving about his power for years now, but, you know, he was still kind of in the low minors. He's 24 now, so really he was playing against guys that were, you know, at least his own age or even a little bit younger than he was. But he had the power, but that was really the only tool he had for a while. And finally, over the last 2 years or so, he's kind of put it together and has been able to play a capable first base, hitting for more average, you know, better plate discipline, that kind of thing, and was having, you know, a really good season down there at Double-A. I think the Twins fans are very excited to hear that he got called up that same day, essentially replacing Fold, and so far he's been playing first base and DHing. He had his first career home run in his first game ever at Target Field on Tuesday, a big three-run home run that led the Twins to a win. So, yeah, and Gardner's been saying that, you know, he's going to be playing a lot, you know, DH, some first base. Obviously, Joe Mauer's coming back pretty soon here. But, yeah, the Twins like what they see from Vargas, and they want him to kind of be maybe a DH-type plus backup first baseman of the future.
And the home run was great. I mean, here's a switch hitter, big dude from Puerto Rico. They shield him from the Rule 5, you know, last winter, put on the 40-man. To skip AAA like that, though, you know, there's going to be adjustments. I think the first thing they were saying about him was, well, we'll see how he handles the breaking ball at the big league level. And then that home run, that was a breaking ball, all right, you know, the big curveball that he smacks out to right field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Jumping from Double-A, like Gardenhire is kind of alluding to it, is, you know, Double-A, you get better prospects in terms of the pitchers down there. Guys might throw a little harder, but they're not quite as, I guess, as wily as the Triple-A pitchers, the guys that throw all the breaking balls. So I don't know if Vargas has really ever got that steady diet of a ton of breaking balls, and I'm sure he will up here. But, yeah, that was a great at-bat. He was kind of explaining to us afterward that he was looking for that curveball. He saw that he threw a similar one to Josh Willingham in the at-bat before and struck him out on a curveball in Vargas' previous at-bat. So he's looking for the curveball, and he got it, and he crushed it. I mean, this guy, though, the power he has, I watched him take batting practice at Target Field during the Futures game, and he was, you know, up there with anybody. I mean, he was hitting from both sides of the plate, just crushing them over the batter's eye, hitting him on the Target Plaza. I mean, the guy has unreal power. He's been kind of compared to David Ortiz, which is unfair to a certain degree because obviously Ortiz has been such a good player throughout his career, pretty much ever since he left the Twins. But, you know, Vargas is a little bit older, 24. I think Ortiz made his debut when he was 21. So, yeah, but same kind of similar build, big guy, similar left-handed swing, same kind of personality, you know, fun, funny guy, nice guy to deal with. So, yeah, I mean, definitely some comparisons to Ortiz and definitely showed off that power that off-speed pitch the other day.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I mean, the Futures game was a lot of fun from that perspective. There are a few young guys really belting those balls out of Target Field during batting practice, and, you know, the future state of power, I guess, looks bright for several of those guys. Think about Gallo and Chris Bryant, and Vargas is definitely in that mix. So I want to ask you about another a young slugger on the Twins roster, Oswaldo Arcia. You know, he's had his struggles against left-handed pitching this season. What are they saying about him as far as, you know, is that a long-term concern? Is that something that they're putting particular emphasis on this point?
Well, the thing with him right now is just so inconsistent, whether it's even left-handers or sometimes even right-handers. He'll go through these spells where he'll just strike out. It seems like every at-bat almost, you know, has tough time putting the ball in play, that kind of thing. But he's definitely still one of their better hitting prospects. I think the Twins definitely wanted to see a little bit more from him this year. It didn't help that he had a wrist injury early in the year and missed a decent amount of time. Kind of came back and hit well right away and then fell into a slump again. So the biggest thing with him right now is just kind of getting through those streaks. And I do think the lefties definitely have been tough on him. But he's one of those guys, he got to the big leagues pretty quickly. I think he was up at like 21. I think he's only 22 now. So he's definitely still young and has time to figure it out. But I do think the Twins were kind of hoping he'd take a bigger step forward this year so far. And same thing, he shows flashes. I mean, he has, just like Vargas, he has unreal power from the left side. It's just a matter of kind of the consistency and putting it all together and getting better against, you know, the breaking pitches, that kind of stuff that he sees from the lefties when the ball's breaking away from him.
Yeah. You know, and Rhett, we were talking about several guys on that roster who might have been trade candidates before the deadline. I don't think we even, you know, thought about Fold in that capacity, you know, bringing back as much as he did. But the guy they didn't move was Kurt Suzuki, who was clearly attracting some interest there. There were injuries, especially to St. Louis, you know, losing Yadi Molina, and Baltimore losing Matt Wieters. So, you know, Suzuki got some trade attention, but ultimately the Twins decided to extend him, which is, you know, I would argue a pretty good move on their part to shore up that catching spot. And can you, from your perspective, what has this guy meant? I mean, obviously defensively he's a good defender, but offensively, I know Gardy said some things here recently about what a good example Kurt's been to the young hitters, especially in RBI situations, showing them what to do and you know, how to adjust in those situations.
He's definitely emerged as a leader on this team. I mean, he's definitely a guy that's very to the point, very honest, even with the pitching staff. He'll come out to the mound and he'll tell them what he thinks, you know, whether or not it's what the pitcher wants to hear. And I think just being in that clubhouse, all the guys look up to him. You know, he's been around the big leagues now for, I believe, 8-9 seasons, 30 years old. And it was a tough, you know, decision for the Twins in a sense that obviously there was a little bit of trade interest, but I just don't know if there ever was really enough, because obviously the Cardinals did sign A.J. Pierzynski.
Right.
The Orioles, forever, you know, a lot of reports out there saying they weren't interested in Suzuki after all. So they never even got to the point of exchanging names, I don't think, with any other teams. Because those are really the only two teams that people were really looking for catching. So the market for trading, if it would have been better, maybe they would have considered it more. But I think at the end of the day, they just realized, too, that they don't really, you know, Cosmo Pinto's still kind of their catcher in the future. But this year he's been having a really tough go defensively, even at AAA. And there's been some concern whether or not he has the defensive chops to be an everyday catcher. So I think they just realized that Suzuki was a great signing for them on the one-year deal, obviously hitting, you know, better than he ever has, obviously always has been good defensively. So I think the Twins just realized, well, we could try to do it in, you know, free agency and try to sign another catcher or trade for a catcher this offseason because they're going to need one regardless. Why don't we just lock up the guy that we know that we like? You know, it's a pretty reasonable deal, you know, 2 years and a third-year option based on how much he plays 2 years from now to kind of protect himself in case he gets hurt or they don't really play him as much. And, you know, and Pinto is still going to be a part of their future. He's probably going to be paired with Suzuki, and I don't know if Suzuki will be, you know, moving forward next year, maybe the year after that, if he'll be the everyday guy that he's been this year. I think they'd like to see Pinto get better defensively and get some more reps, but kind of to learn from Suzuki. And Pinto's still down there at AAA. So I think the move made a lot of sense for the Twins. It's tough sometimes when, you know, he's 30 years old, he's a veteran. You know, is he going to hit like he did this year? You never know. And maybe they will come to regret it 2-3 years down the line. But it wasn't, you know, it was a pretty, you know, reasonable contract. And like I said, the pitchers love throwing to him. The players all like him. Gardy loves him. So they're already comfortable with him. Why not bring him back for a couple more years now and solidify that position, which is obviously a very important one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to make a lot of sense. Hey, Brad, I want to ask you one last thing. You had a great story about Glenn Perkins and his love of the advanced stats that have obviously gained a lot of traction among fans and writers and whatnot. But I thought that was pretty cool. I thought one thing that was cool about it is the prospect of other guys on the team coming up and asking him, you know, what are the numbers saying about me and that sort of thing. But what Perkins is a little ahead of the game there, isn't he? There's not too many guys you hear, one, you know, that they look at those at all, or two, that they admit looking at those numbers.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's definitely really rare to have a guy that's really kind of a stat head. I mean, it's just like any other baseball fan out there that's really into advanced stats, going on stat sites like FanGraphs every day, you know, reading about all the stories about all the advanced stats on the players and looking up his own stats and looking up stats from other players. I mean, he uses it to a certain degree for scouting reasons, too, a little bit here and there. And for the most part, they get their own scouting reports, but he can also kind of see, you know, what these guys, some of these hitters and stuff are good at using some of these, you know, advanced stats, these linear weights and all this stuff. But, yeah, it's kind of a rare bird, but he definitely enjoys those. He's really into that, you know, stat-building independent pitching, which is FIP, which kind of looks at things the pitchers can control without the help of their fielders, which is strikeouts, walks, and home runs allowed. That's kind of his big thing. He knows if he can kind of keep those walks down, those, you know, strikeouts up, and those home runs down, that he's doing his job, and the rest of it will kind of fall into play. And if, you know, if his ERA is higher than what his FIP is, I guess, he knows it in time is probably going to normalize because he's doing his job. He just can't help it where the ball's hit or whether the fielders make the play or not. So, yeah, he's definitely ahead of the game in that sense. I've talked to him about, like, how many other guys in the clubhouse are really into it. Most of the guys stay away to a certain degree, but there's definitely guys in there nowadays. It's become such a big thing. They know about it or they hear about it. Other pitchers will ask, you know, Glenn what their FIP is and what they're doing and if they're pitching to their capabilities or not. And hitters, too. I know Brian Dozier isn't a big fan, but I think the stat war loved him so much early in the year and throughout the season because he's been so good defensively on top of getting on base and showing power and running the base as well, that the stat war loves me. I think he wanted to know why. So I think some of these guys definitely enjoy kind of hearing what they mean, but I don't think too many of the guys in there at all use it for, you know, scouting purposes or to get better or anything yet. But I think moving forward, we'll see a lot more of these guys who are baseball fans growing up, or just I think the game's going to go more and more towards some of these advanced stats, and I think we'll see some of these players embrace it the way that Perkins does. But for me, as a guy that does enjoy that type of stats and kind of reading up on them too, kind of refreshing to have Perkins to go out to and chat about those kind of stats all the time. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to write a story asking him kind of what his favorite ones are and kind of how it uses them to evaluate himself.
Yeah, it was a good story. And at the end of the day, most of these guys are, you know, they get up there on the mound, they have their plan, they attack the hitters the way they see fit, or they're at the plate, they see the ball and they hit the ball and that's it. So good enough for them, but it's good for us to have some interesting data on all of that. But yeah, I'm sure in the future we'll see a lot of interesting data out of Vargas in particular. He definitely looked like a good one here the first few days. So I want to thank Red for joining us. This has been Anthony Cashman. Thanks for listening in. This has been MLB.com Extras Minnesota Twins Edition.